सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
फॉलोइंग द एपिसोड ऑन एनर्जी आई थॉट आई वुड टेक द टाइम टू एक्सप्लेन इन अ लिटिल मोर डिटेल हाउ द एनर्जी सेक्टर शुड बी कन्फिगर्ड। I think it is absolutely correct to say that without figuring how the energy sector is governed and how it is configured, we will never get rid of these large energy deficits, both on the financial side and on the power side. Increasing the supply, which the governments are intent to do, and not just this government, all governments, they want to put in more coal, more hydro, more LNG. That will be required over time, obviously, as the economy grows. But the current rush to supply energy may not be the most appropriate solution, because the system right now is configured for leakages and losses. This is the most important point to understand, that the system right now is configured for leakages and losses. For example, all of you have heard that the collections on the energy system are low, line losses are large, and generally the leakages, losses of energy, losses of finance are also very large. At the same time, we know that the government subsidizes energy in many different areas like Gilgit Baltistan, Fata, tube wells, etc., which in themselves present a loss to the government or need financing. So all this needs to change. So let's look at it. I think the best way to look at it, as I described in my Project Syndicate article, is to look at it in terms of economics, the way I think about it. There is a system of supply. Supply comes in, first of all, there are generating units. The largest generating unit is Tarbela, Mangla, and then some others that the government put in some time ago. Gas-fired coal power plants, etc., fuel-powered plants. But then, since 1994 and 2000, the government has also been putting in, or getting the private sector to put in, these IPPs, independent power producers, these plants that the private sector sets up, which are set up under a particular regime. What is that regime? That the private sector is guaranteed offtake, that the government will buy the electricity for them at a predetermined price, or give them a profit, guarantee a profit, which will fix the price over time. The government will also give them fuel oil at a, again, at the world price or given price. The fuel oil price will be passed on to the consumer. The operator, the private sector, will just collect the rent, which is the guaranteed profit rate that they're given. This system means that the private sector becomes like a contract to the government. They are basically the government plants, but the private sector is collecting a profit. So government has outsourced the production of electricity, but guaranteeing the inputs, guaranteeing the offtake, even giving them a capacity charge, which means when the plants don't run, the government has to pay them for the plants lying idle. So that is the supply system. Now the government is locked into these independent power producer arrangements, whether or not there is demand for electricity. So that is obviously a huge inefficiency in the system. So when there's no demand, or let's say when the government can't buy fuel oil, or the government can't give them the inputs, etc., government still has to pay them capacity charge. So that's a huge issue. The question is, should some of these agreements be revised, or can they be revised? Or when they come due, should they be renewed? Like the 1994 agreements have already come due. Have they been renewed? Should they be renewed? So these are issues that need to be thought through. I think, quite frankly, we need to revise our independent power producer policy very carefully. We need a new policy. We need to phase out the ones that we have and have a new policy on what these producers are. And the government should not be guaranteeing them everything. These guys should be taking some of the business risk so that they can remain efficient. Right now, they don't need to remain efficient. Then come the government generation companies. Who are they run by? They are run by people that the government appoints, that the Secretary of Water and Power appoints. They report to the Secretary of Water and Power. They are large plants, but some of them report to the Secretary of Power, like Mangla, Tarbela, etc. Chairman Wabda is appointed. Who is he? He's normally a retired DMG or something like that. Some of these units operate like a government department. The governments also tend to stuff them with their political workers. Some of these gencos or generating companies do not even have the ability to control their own finances. For example, whatever they collect is immediately swept up into the ministry. They don't have the ability to service their own system because they're not in control of their finances. They have no control of their human resources. This is no way to run a system. Now let's go to the distribution company. The power that is generated, the government buys from these people and then gives it to the distribution companies. Distribution companies are the ones that supply you and me, the households and the industries, everybody with electricity. They are like LESCO or K Electric or whatever, all these companies. Now, these distribution companies, one, are very large. Like Punjab has about, I think, 5 of them. That means they serve almost 20 million population each. Karachi has one. Khyber Pakhtunkhwa has Peshawar and, you know, then Fata. So they're very large companies. But remember, they're area monopolies. These companies, Karachi Electric is privatized, but Karachi Electric is privatized, but still... has a relationship with the government where government gives it some kind of guarantees, like a guaranteed gas supply, like a guaranteed offtake from the grid, like, you know, the government will pay them before the distribution company. So it has a certain advantage over the companies. The other companies are all government owned, but then they operate like government departments. Their CEOs are placed there by the Secretary of Water and Power. They report to him. These people are all running it like government departments. Again, the government stuffs employees there. The CEOs are not in charge of their balance sheet. What does that mean? That means they're not in charge of managing their finances. They're not in charge of managing their systems. This is very important. I will remind you that in the 90s, the Nawaz Sharif government did fix the banking system. Let's give credit where it is due. How did it do it? By appointing competent CEOs from overseas. For example, Chokotreen came in and started the process in Habib Bank. These people, by some magic fluke, were given very strong boards who supported them. They were able to change the manpower very quickly. They were able to control their own human resource, which means they were able to fire a large number of the extra staff. Of course, paid them off so that there was no rioting, nothing, but they were able to get rid of the extra staff. They were able to rationalize their cost structure. With the result, these guys fixed the banks to such an extent that we were able to privatize them. Of course, the government took the bad debts. That's correct. And that should be the case because the government made the bad debts. I suggest the same thing has to be done in the power sector. All the discos and the generation companies must be independent of the government. They must have strong boards comprised of residents of their area. We have enough good people in the country. And I would suggest it should not be the usual suspects, the friends of the government, the rent seekers who should be on the board. No, it should be good citizens and not from companies that take the electricity, not from, you know, these usual industrialists who will get their grid stations and will get everything. No. For example, it could be professors. For example, it could be journalists. For example, it could be people who run NGOs or education system people. There are lots of credible people there that we can find, and not large consumers of electricity. But we can have good boards that will back these people. And again, please, no government functionaries on the board. Government functionaries, especially the secretaries, think that it is their right to be on every board. That is certainly not correct. Because if they were such good managers, why would we have this mess? Because they've been on the boards forever. So let's disabuse ourselves of the notion that the best managers are the government secretaries. They've been on the boards forever, and the mess has been created by that. So let's find good, credible people on the boards. Maybe even find some overseas people to be on the boards. Enough overseas Pakistanis to do well. Let's bring them into the board. Let's find credible CEOs the same way that we found Shaukat Tareen. There are enough Pakistanis all over the world doing a great job. Let's bring them in. Let's pay them international salaries with a bonus. For example, we pay them like $200,000-$300,000 to run a distribution company or a power company. But at the same time, give them X percent of the bonus. Not only them, but the whole staff. If, you know, there are ways of doing this. And let them be in charge of their balance sheets. And if they don't perform, fire them in a year or two. But let's have a good performance contract with them. That is the way to fix the supply system. Let me also say, it is very important to get the pricing system right. Right now, the pricing system depends on NEPRA and it's archaic. It depends on categories. You've got three categories. You've got commercial, residential, industry. You've got slabs. I think we need a modern pricing system. When I was in the Planning Commission, I kept saying we should get a modern pricing system. It requires a lot of thought and careful calibration, but we can develop a modern pricing system where there is a formula and we charge everybody the same price and have different time use sort of things, like, you know, when there's a big rush on the demand for electricity, you will be charged higher. At the same time, bulk users will get some other price. So, I mean, you know, this is a way to develop the pricing formula. But the pricing formula in all this has to be managed by a regulator. Remember, this is a monopoly. These systems are monopolies, most of them. We have to try and generate a market in electricity, but it's not easy to do. Not many countries have done it very well, but still we can simulate it. But even if we do that, we need a good regulator. That means we need NEPRA to be a serious, professional, independent body. Those two terms are very important. Professional and independent. Now, how do we make it professional and independent? Again, NEPRA needs a very strong board that lies outside the government with solid professionals, with solid good citizens on the board who can run it independently. But at the same time, all of these independent boards have reporting requirements. Yes, they should make annual reports to the parliament, or maybe 6 monthly reports to the parliament, open hearings so that everybody can hear it. Then the NEPRA staff and the chairman, etc., all these people should be professionals hired by the board, not by the prime minister, not by the secretary. And NEPRA should have the mandate of regulating the whole system, not just fixing tariffs. They should audit. They should audit the system, each unit. They should sit on top of them. They should try and understand what's happening. Then they should try and create some kind of a market in this, so that a Genco can sell to whichever disco it likes. It's, and, you know, discos can sell to the consumers. Consumers have some choice too. For this, we may need to break up our discos. These huge discos are big monopolies. That is why I don't think they should be privatized like this. We need probably smaller discos. Discos that depend on smaller regions within a city, or multiple discos in a city or something. I mean, all this I cannot immediately tell you. This requires serious thought and consideration, and a good NEPRA will be able to put in both a good pricing system as well as a good development of smaller discos that will allow the power system to be run on some kind of a market mechanism, so that we have to have a system where the discos can buy from the gencos at a price that they agree on, and that there is a market in energy that we can develop, NEPRA can develop, and it's not an easy task. It'll take time, but it can only be done if we have good people, professional people at every point in the system, from the Genco to the Disco to NEPRA. And then they are given the autonomy to develop this. And the Parliament, the Ministry, etc., watching and defining policy, not getting into running the system. That would be a good energy system. So we need pricing. We need all the supply units to be independent. We need NEPRA to be independent. We need everything to be professionalized. We need reporting systems everywhere. We need boards everywhere. This is when the power system will be well developed. The CEOs and the staff, if they're getting bonuses and they know they control their system, they will perform well. Now, there's a final element that's left, which is the demand side. Let's not forget the demand side. Right now, we are very wasteful of energy. Please bear that in mind. The DHA model that we've adopted, that everybody will have a single family home on one canal or two canals or four canals, that is very energy efficient. And that home is also brick structure with no insulation, nothing. The windows are simple glass. In the rest of the world now, they have insulation in the walls. They have insulation in the roof. They don't use concrete. They have windows that are double glazed. These houses are very energy efficient. Plus, they are compact. They don't have like room upon room and single unit air conditioners. We need to go in that direction. We need to make sure there are some building standards. Plus, we need to make sure that people move into flats. Flats are more efficient than houses. That means the current bias against flats must end. Instead of prioritizing single family home, we should be building more flats. And I've been saying this again and again. Through the Planning Commission, through the PID, I've written a number of papers on this. We need high-rise and denser development. We need mixed-use development. We are spreading out our cities too much. That is creating a demand for the car, which is again driving up energy bill. So think about it. This DHA model, this model where we are spreading the city from 60, 70, 100 miles, this is wasteful in many ways. First of all, the houses are inefficient. Secondly, we are running around in cars. We are polluting the environment. Our energy bills are going up. This model has to change. We have to have compact cities if we want to save energy. We have to have flats if we want to save energy. We have to have mixed use. That means if I want to buy milk, I don't have to drive the car for 5 miles. The current DHA model does that because you have to drive to get milk. These shops are not near your house. The shops are far away. I should be able to walk to a shop. That means mixed use, not this segregation that we have now, that here is commercial and here is residential, 10 miles apart. This has to end. So you have insulated compact flats with shops, etc. nearby. You save energy. Then finally, appliances. Right now, when I see heaters in the winter in Pakistan, it really saddened me. We are wasting gas like there's no tomorrow. There are no energy standards on those heaters. When I look at the fridges, no energy standards. We need some energy standards on our appliances. You can save a lot of money, as you have seen the LED bulbs that have come in. You can save a lot of energy there. Finally, there's all kinds of new energy developments that are happening. For example, solar has now become very cheap. The government has set up a solar park, which is the most expensive way to develop solar. The best way to develop solar is a distributed system where every rooftop has a solar panel. But that can only happen if we can develop a metering system that will allow us to do that. And that metering system is very easy to do. It's not difficult to do at all. These meters are available all over the world. You set up a solar on every roof. During the day, when people are out of the house working or whatever, the solar system will sell to the grid. In the evening, they will buy from the grid and they will pay the net bill. Whatever they sell to the system, whatever they buy, they pay to the grid. That way, during the day when the factories, etc. are running, shops are running, they get the household to give electricity to the shops in the industry. In the evening, they get from the grid. That the world is done again, and it can be done here. But that means we need new kind of metering. There is a metering lobby. The meter makers who have taken over the metering system, they are in cahoots with the current distribution companies, and they provide all the meters. These are obsolete meters. We need modern meters, meters that can talk to our cell phones, meters that can do net metering. We can generate distributed solar systems very easily. We are a tropical country with a lot of sun. Every household can be. In fact, we may not even need to set up these coal plants. We can have so much energy from just doing solar. And the good thing is, none of the money comes from the government. All the money comes from our pockets, the citizens' pockets. We don't even have to get a foreign loan to do this. But then there is the problem. Our leaders, bureaucrats want foreign loans because that's where the cream lies. In these intelligent things, setting up a good system, there is no premium. But I urge you to listen to this, think about it. We need to develop a good energy system. Otherwise, we are going to continue to have these losses. And I submit to you what I've said here is what a good energy system is. Please discuss this. If you don't discuss these things, ideas die. Ideas only live when you discuss them. If you don't discuss Facebook, Twitter, wherever, then an idea dies. Please listen to Soch Pichar, cite Soch Pichar, spread Soch Pichar, subscribe to Soch Pichar. That is the only way to keep this alive. If you don't subscribe to it, if you don't put it in your podcast subscription, either on iTunes or Google Play or wherever, this will not remain alive. I hope you like it. If you like it, spread it. Thank you.
Soch Pichar ke saath, mera naam Nadeem Ul Haq hai.
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।